Well, did you enjoy yourself?
Yes!
You convinced me.
Yes!
I'm just so glad you came into the house of God ready to just really have a good time. God said He sits in heaven, has a party all the time. And He wants us to learn how to party. We know how to party, don't we? We're party animals. We've been at this a long time now. We don't need more practice. I'm so glad y'all come out to the house of the Lord tonight. We're not having a big revival. They're having that in the West Coast, but we're having revival. In case you don't know, it hit out in the West Coast and been going on 20-some days now. And people are being healed. People are flying in from all over the world to get healed. And all kind of miracles will happen. It's been prophesied it was going to break out there. And it broke out on the 27th. So praise God. And God said, once the revival breaks out, it's not going to stop. It's just going to go all over the world. Yeah. Amen. So get ready for the great signs, wonders, and miracles to start occurring. And I said, God, you know, we're having revival right here tonight. Amen. The revival of joy. I watched you guys. None of you were sticks in the mud. And that's good. You know, God said a while back that church was never going to be the same. There's going to be change in church. And it isn't the same, is it? And I'm glad. I'm really glad. I'm glad that God has come into the house. And I'm glad He's showing His true nature, which is having a good time. Love, compassion, you know, long-suffering. We just serve a wonderful, amazing God. And I thank Him for just for allowing us to enjoy Him. Amen. Well, Father, I just thank You for tonight. I thank You for what You're doing here. I thank You for Your people. I thank You, Father God, that Your angelic host is here, walking to and fro throughout these chairs. And Father, that You're doing exactly what You want to do. You're making Your people laugh. And Father, I just thank You for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, when I asked God what He wanted me to do for tonight, He said, tell them to march. And I thought that was neat. The young man started to march line here. I thought that was neat. You know, see, he doesn't know God told me that, did he? Whoever you are, you did a good job of that. Thank you. Blew his whistle just at the right time, you know. And I thought that was good, yeah. Then the young men over here stomped their feet at the right time. And everything was just working out just great. Well, anyhow, so he told me he wanted me to tell you people, you need to learn how to march. March to victory. March until you get the victory instead of stopping in the middle of the march. We're going to talk about the Israelite children here tonight, all right? Now, you know, every night for the past 13 nights, God has just, well, and in the morning services too on Sundays, God has done a fantastic job with the anointing, has He not? And I watched you people change drastically from the time it started till now. And I'm excited with what God's doing. And I've heard a lot of testimonies about the visions and everything that people's been seeing. And I think it's really great that God is opening up your spirit man so He can come alive. And so He can participate, you know, in with the festivities. Amen. Wherever you take your vessel, He's there and He's excited. He might make you start shouting in the middle of the grocery store, but don't do that. You might get arrested. You know, because your spirit man now is alive tonight and he's happy and he wants to just rejoice. All right. So after 40 long years, Israel is finally ready to begin the process of claiming the promised land. And that's what we're doing, right? We're in the process. Well, we have claimed it. We've claimed it. Remember, we crossed over. The very first city they face is the walled city of Jericho. In its day, Jericho was a formidable fortress city. Scholars tell us that the city was surrounded by two great stone walls. The outer wall was 20 feet tall and 6 feet wide. Can you believe that? The inner wall was 30 feet tall and 12 feet wide. That's two walls. I mean, I think the manpower it took to make that. And how did they get those stones drug from there to here? And, you know, and all the chisel and everything that goes on. They had to work hard. It took a lot of people, didn't it? These two walls were separated by a 15-foot wide guarded walkway. There was another wall there. The city only covered about 9 acres, but it must have looked like an impossible city to conquer to people who fought with only spears, swords, and arrows. Jericho was a big hindrance to Israel, though. It stood as an obstacle between them and the rest of the promised land. Before they could go deeper into the land the Lord had given to them, Jericho had to be defeated. Every one of us in here have a Jericho to defeat, all right? Our text is all about how Jericho was defeated, and those impossible walls were brought crashing down. We may wonder what a battle that was fought more than 3,000 years ago has to do with us today. The fact is, the battle that was fought over the city of Jericho has much that it can teach us about our own walk with the Lord. You know, as I was studying this, I thought, well, Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, and so 1,000 years before that, all this stuff went on. You know, awesome, isn't it? And you just stop and think about how long this has been going on in the world, you know, as we know it. Before Jericho could be defeated, the walls that surrounded it had to come down. You've heard what kind of walls they were. Israel could not get into the city. They needed those walls torn down. Israel could go no further until Jericho was destroyed. You can't go no further in your walk with God tonight until your Jericho is destroyed. You have to know that. They needed those walls torn down. That city stood before them as a barrier between them and God's best for them. If they were going to get all that God had for them, those walls had to be torn down. We might not even realize it today, but many of us have walls in our own lives. These walls stand between us and our receiving God's best for our lives. Excuse me. It might be some besetting sin that stands between you and God's best. It might be some old hurt. You hear me? Might be some old hurt that has grown into a root of bitterness, and now it stands as a barrier between you and all that God wants you to have. It might be a cold and indifferent spirit that has invaded your life and has erected a wall between you and God's best for you. Every one of these things I wrote down are things really that people do go through. It might be a bad attitude, an unforgiving spirit, pride, anger, or something from your past. But whatever it is, it stands before you today and it keeps you from going deeper with God. That wall must come down if you are going to walk forward into God's best. It might even be some wall that you have constructed that keeps you from coming to Jesus for salvation. That wall must come down if you want to be saved. The reason why God is doing the things He's doing today is because there's a lost and dying world out there. A lot of souls that don't know Jesus Christ, or a lot of souls that did know Him and have backslidden. There's souls that are just never have heard of God. And God now is going to bring those souls into the house of God. And they're going to come in with a lot of baggage. But God has been equipping us to take care of that baggage. He's been showing us the power and authority that we have within us to help them get themselves set free. Because you see, people who are bound aren't happy. Oh, they get out there and get drunk and whoop it up, but they're not happy. They get next morning with hangovers, you know, and get grumpy. And the same with drugs. You know, you take one drug to make you feel good, then you take another drug to make you keep you feeling good, and you take another drug to keep you feeling even gooder, right? And, you know, it just goes on and on and on, and that's not happiness. True happiness doesn't need a fix. It really doesn't. For me to serve God, I don't have to come in here and sing and hit balloons. I don't have to do that. I just love Him. You do too, right? This is just fun, isn't it? And God said to have a party tonight, so that's what we did. The good news is the walls in our life can be brought down, and these verses tell us how to make that happen that we're going to read. I want to show you the steps that must be taken if you want to see the walls in your life fall. Joshua chapter 5:13. You have to fall at the right feet. So let's read what Joshua did. You have to fall at the right feet. Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Amen. Joshua is doing reconnaissance of the city of Jericho. He is alone and he is busy trying to devise a plan to overcome the walls that surround the town. No doubt he is confused and concerned, and he has no idea about what he needs to do. How many of you in your own life, you have no idea what you need to do? You're trying to get a loved one saved, or you're just trying to keep your own life, you know, on an even keel, and trying to keep them going into some mental institution somewhere with all the mess that's going on around about you, right? And you just don't know what to do. Then Joshua meets a man who is standing with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua confronts this man, we just read this, and asks him to declare whether he is friend or foe. The stranger responds not by answering Joshua's question, but by identifying himself as the Lord of Hosts. This is the battle name of the God of Israel, the Lord of Hosts. Joshua realizes that this is no ordinary meeting. This is a manifestation of God, and he has come ready for battle. I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of you are going to start having encounters with God. And you have to know right now that it's no ordinary encounter, that God has come for a reason. Joshua's reaction to the presence of the Lord is worthy of note, and he reveals to us how we should respond when we are confronting the walled-off areas of our lives. We must recognize his authority. You know, Joshua is recognizing this angel's authority. Joshua reacts by falling on his face and offering worship to the Lord. He understood the truth that he, Joshua, may have been the commander of Israel's armies. He is hearing this. But he was standing face to face with the commander-in-chief. In other words, Joshua humbled himself in the presence of the Lord and clearly demonstrated that he understood just who was really in charge. You know, this morning, God started ministering, then a couple of people just took over. And I just sat there. And I said, "Well, God, I'm the pastor, but I guess they have now taken my place." And then one of them proceeded to tell the people what they needed to do. "But before you do it, you run it by your pastor," they said. Yes. Now they're shaking hands, saying, "Yeah." Now they're in agreement again. See that?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Now you two listen. Joshua humbled himself in the presence of the Lord. And clearly demonstrated that he understood just who was really in charge. Amen. You know, I gave Astra the finger, and she took my whole body. Did you notice that? She just never stopped. She just kept right on going. I said, "All right, I'll just sit here then." Then Barbara said, "That means I want a microphone." And then so she took charge. I'm just sort of having a bit of fun here. Right? I'm just pointing a fact here. We had a good example, right? All right. The first step in achieving victory in our lives and in seeing the walls in our lives come down is to come to the place where we understand who is really in charge. And it's God. It's always God. Neither you nor I are truly in command of our lives. There is an ultimate authority, and his name is God. All right? He expects his people to recognize his authority and to bow before him in total surrender and humility. All right? God expects his people to recognize his authority and bow before him in total surrender and humility, just like Joshua did. James 4:10, get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. I thought that was a neat scripture. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. 1 Peter 5:5 says, and you who are younger must follow your leaders. You whippersnappers, you have to follow me, right? But all of you leaders and followers alike are to be down to earth with each other, which we were, which I am right now. For God has had it with the proud. For God has had it with the proud. But takes delight in just plain people. Amen. All I have here is just plain people. Come on. And what are we? We're one body, working together, in unity. All right?
Yes.
Who is calling the shots in your life? This is a question for you now. Are you in the driver's seat? Do you determine where you go, what you do, and how you live? Or can you honestly say, for me to live is Christ? If you want the walls to come down, you must recognize his authority. You really have no authority over your own life. If you've sold out to God, you belong to him.
Amen.
Joshua 5:14, we must respect his authority. Joshua said, neither. I'm commander of God's army. I've just arrived. Joshua fell face to the ground and worshiped. And he asked, what orders does my master have for his servant? How many of you, when you're in a bind, you go to God and say, God, I really need to hear from you. Amen. I did that last. We did that at 1 o'clock in the morning, didn't we? When I found out this very big revival broke out and it hadn't broke out of here yet, I went before the Father. I said, what's going on here? Why hasn't it happened? And so he told me why. You know, it's going to happen. It just isn't going to happen today. Joshua, the battle-hardened general, all right, responded to the authority of the Lord by falling at his feet and bowing before him. This was a position of absolute vulnerability and surrender. Amen. That's why I tell you, when you're up here, put your hands up, Mary. Come here, stand. No, you're surrendering to the Lord. You put your hands up, Mary. Then you receive. Then as you reach up, he reaches down. Joshua placed himself in a position of helplessness. He was a great commander, wasn't he? Joshua placed himself in a position of helplessness before the Lord. It is as if Joshua was saying, Lord, I am your servant. Do with me what you will. Use me. Bless me. Kill me. I'm yours. That's the attitude you're going to have if you really want God to be number one in your life. That is what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to place our all in his hands and just trust him to do what is best in our lives. He is looking for people who will quit trying to fight their own battles and win their own victories. God is looking for people who will sell out totally to him and let him have everything. Now, come on, now he's been doing this for a long time. I think it's about time you sell out. That 1% you're holding on to for yourself is keeping you from crossing over. Does that describe you? Sadly, it does. It does not. I mean, selling out. No, it doesn't. It does not describe most of us, does it? We like to be in control. We like to call the shots. We like to be the boss. And it shows. It shows in defeat, in lack of peace and joy, in our being less than we could be for the Lord. If we really want the walls in our lives torn down, then we must come to the place where we literally give up. Where we literally give up, place our lives in his hands, and trust him to do with us what he will. You know, until you come to that place, just like Catherine Kuhlman. It was Catherine Kuhlman. She, you know, and her husband was an adulterer, and he wasn't going to straighten out. So she got up out of her chair in the church and walked out in an alley and fell on her face and said, Father God, I give up. She walked away from her husband that night, and God returned the spirit back on her. And look at her great ministry she had. She loved her husband with every fiber of her being, but she knew she had to leave him. She just knew it wasn't going to work any other way because he wouldn't get out of his whoremongering ways. She said, I give up. Amen. How many of you in her night, you had to finally say, God, I just give up. I can't do this on my own. So I just give you everything I am. You may not like the sound of that, what I just said, but it is an essential step in obtaining true victory. By the way, you need to know that God is not out to hurt you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. This is God speaking. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. I'll turn things around for you. I'll bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you. which I drove you, God did it, God's decree, bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile, you can count on it. Are you in the backside of the desert? God placed you there. And at the right moment, he'll bring you out of the backside of the desert. But if you keep kicking and screaming and kicking against the goats and everything else, you're going to stay there. Whatever he decides to do in your life will always be for your good. Romans 8:28 says, that's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. You might not see the good in it right now when you're going through it because it's horrible. But there is something good in that there dark place you're in. 2 Corinthians 4:17. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. This is out of the Message Bible. Joshua 5:15. God's army commander ordered Joshua, take your sandals off your feet. The place you're standing is holy. And Joshua did what he told him to do. We must rest in his authority. Then we see Joshua as he removes his shoe and hands it over to the Lord. That is an Old Testament way of saying, I can't do this, but you can. And you can read about that in Ruth 4:1-12. It's about the shoe. Ruth 4:1-12. Joshua has just scrapped his plans. He has turned over the reins of the army of Israel to the commander-in-chief. He does not know what the Lord is going to do, but he trusts the Lord to do right. Joshua had just scrapped his plans. How many times has God says, you give me those plans that you have and I'll give you the plans that I really want you to walk in. Amen. So Joshua has reached a place of total and absolute surrender. He has given up on his plans, his abilities, and his strength. You see that? He has given up on his plans, his abilities, and his strength. He is merely resting and looking to God for any victories that come. Just resting and looking for... You know, when God was, I think a year ago, God told us to come into his rest. He was saying, quit your battling. Just give me everything and you just rest and I'll take care of everything for you. A lot of people didn't do that. They just kept battling. They just kept holding on to their plans and they wouldn't allow God to take those plans and scrap them and use his plans in our life. That is the secret to seeing your walls fall down. You must come to the place where your all is at his feet. You have stopped your struggling and you are simply resting in his ability and in his authority. Question, are you there? Have you come to that place in your life where you have surrendered to the Lord and his will for your life? Have you symbolically taken off your shoe and said, Lord, here I am. I need help and I can't do the things that need to be done. But I know that you can. So I stop my fighting. I surrender my plans. I relinquish my will. All that I have and all that I am, I yield to you. Do with me as you please. Some people say, I've done that, but I watch you. No, you haven't. You're fooling yourself. You're still holding on and trying to make your own plans work out. Well, that really wasn't God speaking. Yes, it was. Come on. I am just going to rest in your authority. This is what you're saying to God. I'm just going to rest in your authority and trust you to do what is right. That is a hard place to reach, guys. It really is. It's a very hard place to reach because your little Jezebel spirit, prideful spirit is so used to doing this thing, you know, that you just can't let go. Amen. I know it is, or I wouldn't have said it. If you ever watch some of the Jezebel spirits, they're terribly controlling. That they control everybody's life and their own lives out of control and they don't even know it. And you know, you guys that do deliverance, you know sometimes you find 10 kingdoms inside of somebody and each one has a Jezebel heading it up, 10 or more, right? This is a hard place to reach, but it is essential to seeing your walls fall down that you get there. God is looking for people who will lose their lives for his sake. God is looking for people who will lose their lives for his sake. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Get it in your spirit. Jesus said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. I don't run from suffering. Oops. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. This is Jesus speaking. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, defining yourself, your true self. Come on. So many people walk in self-deception. They really do. Joshua 6. I just heard something. I'll just wait and see how he wants to word that. Joshua 6, 1. You have to follow the right plan. You have to follow the right plan. All right? As soon as Joshua surrenders himself to the will of the Lord, God tells him how to go about defeating the walled city of Jericho. Just as soon as Joshua let go, then God started giving him the plans on how to win this battle. So, you won your battle today, right? God told you what you do and you did it, right? Don't you? And you said you felt really light and wonderful, right? See? As soon as you let go and do what God tells you to do. The Lord's plan is a bit unconventional, but in the end, it was absolutely successful. Let's examine this plan because it teaches us something about God's plan to tear down the walls in our lives. Joshua 6:1. It is a simple plan. For Joshua and Israel, the plan boiled down to one simple word, faith. Faith. God is telling Joshua, just trust me. Those walls might be tall and they might be thick, but I have already given you the city. In fact, Joshua, the people behind those walls already know what you haven't figured out yet. The enemy already knows he's defeated, but he's going to keep at you until you realize that he's defeated. You hear me? And the minute the light bulb goes on, that enemy said, well, got to exit here. They've done found out what they should have found out 2 years ago. Right? They know they are defeated. You know, the enemy does. And you will know it too in a few days. Just trust me. Don't you feel dumb? Whenever you realize what's going on all the time, this old devil that was been tormenting you knew what the victory was going to be, but he was just having a good time harassing you. And then one day you came to your senses and realized what God was doing, and you like to just kick yourself all over town, right? Because there that devil was standing laughing at you and just having a good time at your expense. I just bet they have a good time. Look at that dummy. Fretting and worrying and carrying on like a fool, and they already have the victory, and we're just standing around here just watching the show. Jabbing them every now and then. Doesn't that make you mad? Well, then don't let him do that to you no more. Amen. You see, God did not bring Israel out of Egypt just so they could fall at Jericho. God doesn't do that. He saved them to walk in victory in Canaan. The same is true in your life and mine. God did not save us so that we could live every day of our lives in defeat. He saved us to walk in victory. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, 15:57, but now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death, are gone. This is a gift of our Master Jesus Christ. Thank God. Verse 58, with all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. You know, when I was first born again, I said, God, I wasted all my life all those years before. Now, why didn't you call me earlier? And it came down the road 30 years later. I said, God, this is hard. I first of all complained because he wasn't using me, and I was complaining because he was using me. Isn't that the way we do it? Come on. We need to stop doing it that way. He is telling us to do the same thing that he was telling Israel. Just trust me. If you want the victory over the walls that have been erected in your life, then that victory will be found in following God's plan. And God's plan is a simple plan. Here's his plan, as simply as I can give it to you. God's plan for victory, regardless of the wall you need to see fall in your life, is as simple as this. Just trust him. I remember, you know, how many times God has said to you people, just trust me, just in prophetic words, just trust me. Please, just trust me. And you still haven't got that down yet. Must be a video game or something. You just don't know how to get past that wall. You know? Come on. Just trust him. That's all it takes. Just trust him. I'm preaching to myself too. All right? Just as Israel was to place a tangible symbol of God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant, at the head of their march around Jericho, the first step to victory is to place God first. All right? Joshua 6:3. It is a strange plan. As the Lord details his plan to Joshua, it must have sounded strange. There was no talk of armor or armaments. There was no talk of soldiers, swords, or spears. There was no talk of sieges or of strategies or of secret weapons. God's plan involved the Ark of the Covenant, priests, trumpets, and people. God said, Joshua, take the Ark. Have seven priests blowing seven ram's horn trumpets. Go before it and have them blow those trumpets. You know, the enemy must have thought they just lost their mind, right? Then have the... Some people walk in here, they thought we lost our mind tonight, too. Amen. Then have the rest of the people follow along behind. Don't say a word. Boy, I'd have to give you all that tape. What's that gray tape? Duct tape. Put it in your mouth. God said, don't let the people say a word. Don't shout. Well, we'd really have to do Astrid up, right? Don't taunt the people of the city. Don't even speak. Just walk. Walk once around that city every day for six, and then do it seven times on the seventh day. When you finish that last lap, stop and shout the victory, and the walls will fall down flat. Now, I don't care who you are. That is a strange plan. When God says, stand still, you think, do what? You want me just to stand here while all this is going on? He says, stand still. And you can't even stand still. You start devising how you're going to do something. So don't laugh at these people. From a human standpoint, it makes no sense. From a military standpoint, it makes no sense. From a logical standpoint, it makes no sense. Yet, it is what God said to do. Strange plans call for strong faith. When all hell is arrayed around about you, and God looks at you, when you go to prayer about it, weeping and crying and carrying on like a fool, and he says, stand still. You think, have you lost your mind? Stand still. Strange plans call for strong faith. Imagine the people of Jericho as the people of Israel marched around and around the city. I know they must have been laughing at them. You know, people will do that with you. You know, whenever you're going through a really bad battle and you're just sort of just resting, they'll say, are they crazy? Why aren't you doing this, 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 and this? If they did this, 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 and this, then this would happen. But no, God says, I'm taking care of it. I'll just give you an example. One time when I was first born again, one of my children were, my real children were really messed up, and they had a small baby, and everybody said, you need to go down there and get control of that baby. You have to go do that. And I didn't want to do it, but they said, you need to go. So I went. And I went down to the courthouse. I reached for the doorknob, and God said, don't go in there. Do not go in there. Well, I opened the door and went in there. They treated me horrible in there. They ignored me. They waited on everybody else except me. Finally, somebody said, what do you want? And I heard the voice say, didn't I tell you not to come in here? So I said, nothing. And I turned around and left. And when I left and walked out that door, the Holy Spirit came back on me. And you know, it left me when I put my hand in that doorknob, went in there, because I was disobeying God. And when I came back out, the Holy Spirit came back on me. And God said, don't you ever disobey my voice again, no matter what man tells you to do. And God worked everything out. The baby came back home. The child came back home, and everybody was happy. But if I would have went through with what the people were telling me to do, been too much hurt, you couldn't have rectified it. Are you listening? Imagine the people of Israel and what they endured as they marched, ridicule, danger, and humiliation. That's what the dangers they faced. God's plan boils down to this: marching. God told you march. They were to march in the right order, in the right path, for the right period of time, and they were promised the victory. Let's read that again. God's plan boils down to this: marching. They were to march in the right order, in the right path, for the right period of time, and they were promised the victory. This plan involved no input from the people. All they had to do was march. You get a Jezebel boy, you know, and they'll stick their nose in that thing every time. You know, Jezebels are men and women, just not women. Come on. Now, to carry out this strange plan required great discipline. The body of Christ doesn't have discipline either. Now, to carry out this strange plan required great discipline on the part of these people. God just wanted them to settle in and do it His way. Are you listening? By the way, God's plan for His children is a bit strange also. All He asks us to do is nothing. The secret to living the successful Christian life is this. You can't do it. That's the secret. You can't do it. I don't care how you try. It is not about what you can do, but it is all about what God can do. It is not about trying and failing. It is all about learning to abide in Jesus and in drawing one's strength from Him. Find that in John 15:1-8, in Galatians 2:20. The Christian life can be condensed into that one word, abiding. If a believer can just learn to abide in Jesus, the walls in his life will come crashing down. If we can just learn to go with God and abide in Jesus, even when life makes no sense at all, we will see Him overcome the walls we have in our lives. What I am referring to is a simple, disciplined walk that looks to God by faith. God, You told me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to question, not going to wonder. I'm just going to do what You've asked me to do. That's faith. By the way, when you walk by faith, your life is bound to raise a few eyebrows. Come on. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. Just keep walking and the Lord will bless. Joshua 6:20. It is a successful plan. God's plan is a successful plan. When they did things God's way, He gave them the victory. They marched around that city blowing those trumpets for 6 days and nothing happened. They didn't blow their trumpets when they marched. They marched quietly. I'm sorry, I wrote something down I shouldn't have. On the seventh day, they did it 7 times and nothing happened. Then they lifted their voice and in a victorious shout and the walls fell flat. They were able to enter the city and claim the victory God had given them. His way really did work. And I remember either seeing on TV or reading it where those walls, when they said they fell flat, they went down into the ground. They didn't fall over flat. The walls went right down into the ground. I mean, that is a miracle. You know, wonder how many angels stomped on that. You know, they must have been standing on there, and when these people shouted it, boom, they said, jump. And it went down. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Come on. Learning to walk in faith and learning to follow the Lord, even when His plan makes no sense, will always result in victory for the child of God. Do you want to see those walls in your life come down? Do you want to see those things that have hindered you in your walk with the Lord gone from your life? If you do, the way to see that happen is to determine today to stop fighting your way and surrender to God's way. Let's read that again. If you do, if. You can say a lot of things, but you don't really mean them. If you do, the way to see that happen is to determine today to stop fighting your way and surrender to God's way. Joshua 6:20, you have to finish the right way. When the walls came down, Israel was able to go into the city and defeat it for the glory of God. They saw the walls fall down and they enjoyed the victory. But before the day was finished, they had to finish what the Lord had begun. These verses tell us how to finish the right way. After the Lord flattens the walls in our lives. Some things must be claimed. God gave Israel absolute victory over the city of Jericho. All they had to do was enter the city and claim what He had already given them. The fact of the matter is that many people never enjoy real victory over the things that hold them back because they don't go forth and claim them. But God has given us absolute victory in Jesus. All we really have to do to enjoy that victory is claim it by faith. Amen. Now, I'm not promoting some name it, claim it. You know, I'm just not doing that theology. I'm telling you that there really is victory in Jesus. And you can have it, enjoy and live it all the time if you want to. I didn't say you wouldn't have some battles. I didn't say that. I just said you can have it, you can enjoy it, live it all the time if you want to. But you're not supposed to boo-hoo whenever the enemy comes to attack you. You're supposed to use the weapons of warfare that God has given you and defeat the enemy. And one of the weapons is pick up the phone and say, help! Put me on the prayer line. Amen? That's the first thing you should do. Then you can go to war. But people don't do that. After all, I don't want anybody to think I can't do this by myself. You can't do it by yourself. That's why you go through it so long. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 1 John 5:4-5 is where you can find what I'm going to tell you. Do you want that victory in your life today? It is in Jesus, and it is available by faith. Some things must be conquered, though. When Israel entered Jericho, they killed every single person in that city. They had to do something. Nothing associated with Jericho could be allowed to live. You see, the problem with Jericho was not the city itself. The problem there was the people in the city. They had to be destroyed or their ways would have corrupted the children of Israel. Now, God could have killed those people with his angels. But he didn't. He said they had to go in and do it. All right? Now, see, God doesn't need you for nothing. He can use his angels to do anything and everything. But there's some things he wants you to do in order to be the conqueror he's called you to be, in order to receive the things he wants you to have. All right, I didn't contradict myself. I told you in the beginning, you have to surrender all and give everything to Jesus. So this is what Joshua did. Then God gave him the battle plan, and he had to follow it step by step. But he also had to go in there and kill those people. All right? That was part of the battle plan. So whatever the battle plan is, and he gives you step by step, you have to do each step in order to receive what he said he's going to give you. And if you miss a step, it's not going to work. You're going to have to go back to that step you missed and do that step, okay? The same is true in your life and mine. When the Lord does give you victory and those walls come falling down in your life, you must rise up and put away everything that is associated with your Jericho. All right? Maybe someone needs to be forgiven. Maybe you will need to develop a new circle of friends. Maybe you will need to change the way you go to and from work. Maybe you need to change the kind of TV you watch or books you read. When God gives you the victory in your life, take whatever steps are necessary to see that the problem in your life is totally conquered. That is the path to lasting victory. When we tell people when they come in to get born again, we tell them, you know, you have to change friends. Well, they throw a fit. I'm not going to do that. And they walk out that door and get bound. They stay bound. You know, I'm sorry, your friends are going to tear you down. The Bible tells you do not be unequally yoked, and how true that scripture is. Now, if you're a drug addict and you and God clean you up with drugs, you don't go back and hang out with the drug addicts because you're too vulnerable. You're not strong enough yet at that point to not go back to drugs. There could be a time you can do that, but it's not whenever you get saved. And God doesn't send you into a bar to witness to people if you have a weak constitution. In other words, if you're lustful, he's not going to send you in a bar. You can tell me that you want all you want, but I know what God's told me too. People come to me, well, God told me to go into bars and win the people. And he said, I never told them no such thing. They want to win that bar because they still are bound up. Amen. Come on. Don't come and tell me you're junk. Because as you're sitting there telling me you're junk, God's telling me all about you. Because he's not going to let me be deceived because I'm your shepherd. Or I'm the shepherd over this house. If you come in here and try to deceive me, God's not going to let that happen. He isn't. And that's the way it should be in your home. You're the priest of your home. And people come in here and try to deceive you. You have to be close to God where he can tell you what that person's all about so they don't come in there and cause a mess in your home. All right? I've lost my place, Nancy. The word conclusion, where's that at? on the next page. Thank you. Conclusion. I read about a massive oak tree, a vine had grown up along its trunk. The vine started small, nothing to bother about. But over the years, the vine had... But just think about a sin in your life with this. Over the years, the vine had gotten taller and taller. After many years, the entire lower half of the tree was covered by the vine's creepers. The mass of tiny feelers was so thick that the tree looked as though it had innumerable birds' nests in it. Now the great tree was in serious danger. This huge, solid oak was quite literally being taken over. The life was being squeezed from it. And that's what your sin does. All right? It just creeps in. And then it slowly takes you over. But the gardeners in that park had seen the danger. They had taken a saw and severed the trunk of the vine. One neat cut across the middle. The tangled mass of the vine's branches still clung to the oak. But the vine was now dead. That would gradually become plain as weeks passed and the creepers began to die and fall away from the tree. How easy it is for sin and other seemingly little things, things which begin so small and seemingly insignificant, to grow until they have a stranglehold on our lives. All right? And yet Christ's death has cut the power of sin and of anything else that would entangle itself around our lives seeking to choke us out. You know, if you're in here and you aren't walking for God, you don't know what you're missing. Walking with God is the most wonderful thing you could ever do. You are so free. And I think it's neat we even have to fight the devil. Because I'm a fighter anyhow. You know? And I just think it's wonderful when he said, you can't do this. And we said, oh, well, you just wait and see, buddy. I'm going to show you what God's power can do. Right? Isn't that the way it works when you're doing deliverance? You know, they tell you, you can't make me leave. Oh, really now? There's, you know, they just put up a red flag. Now you're going after them, right? Do you ever think that they know that you can? And they're trying to convince you you can't. Trying to scare you into believing you can't, so you leave them alone. All right? All right, what kind of vines do you have in your life? What kind of entanglements are choking out your spiritual life today? What kind of walls are standing between you and your going deeper with the Lord? Whether or not anyone will admit it, many in this very room have walls of all sorts in their lives. All right? These walls are hindering your walk with the Lord. In some cases, these walls are keeping you away from the Lord altogether. Today would be a good day to bring those things to the Lord. He is still leveling Jerichos and bringing down the seemingly impossible walls in our lives. And he'll do that every day until we go with him. He won't let any wall be erected and stand before you. He really won't. He loves you. He doesn't want you walled in by the enemy. He loves us too much. We can't do a perfect work for God all walled in. We can't have the joy of the Lord if we're all entangled up in these vines that are wrapping themselves around us. We just can't do that. We can pretend we're happy, but it's not true happiness. It just doesn't bubble up from deep within. What is keeping you from going deeper with the Lord? Ask yourself, is it worth it? Wouldn't you like to get past that thing so you can go a little further with the Lord? If so, you can begin the process right now. Fall at the right feet. Follow the right path. And finish the right way. That's simple. Fall at the right feet. Follow the right path and finish the right way. Do that and you will see the walls in your life wiped out. And you will enjoy the victory that only Jesus can give. If you want him and what he can give, he's available. He's been here all night. He's been here all the time. These walls are saturated with his presence. And all he wants you to do is just say, Father, I need you. I need you. I can't do this myself because I've tried and all I do is mess up. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I can't do anything right. All I do is mess up. That's not true. That's the enemy making you believe that. Because, you know, if you're walking with God and somebody tells you something, you're not going to right away take the attitude, well, I can't do it. I can't do it right. You're not going to do that. Because you know you can. You know you can. And I'm really admonishing each one of you in here tonight to allow God to break those walls down. You know, just allow him to come in your life in all of his fullness. Allow him to take his little sword and cut those creepers off of your tree. Amen? God can do it, and he's well able. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to say, God, tear down this wall. I don't want to erect another wall in my life. I don't want to allow the enemy to erect another wall in my life. I don't want no more vines growing up and choking me. I want to be free and stay free. I want to be free to love. You know what we learned this morning? I want to be. You can't love if you have walls built. You know, you can't. Your heart has to be open to be hurt. Now, if you're building, this is where I was at when I was first saved. To have walls around my heart, nobody was going to hurt me no more. So if that's you, God can't use you. He told me, daughter, I can't use you if your heart's not open and vulnerable to be bruised and abused. So I allowed him to tear the wall down, and guess what? My heart has been attacked terribly. You know, people will hurt you. In the body of Christ, they'll hurt you. But that's all right. They hurt Jesus too, didn't they? Why can't you equate to Jesus? Why can't you accept what he's given for you? Why can't you believe that he's more than what the world offers? Because what the world offers is nothing. You know, sometimes I see people in drugs or alcoholics, and boy, they're out there being a big guy, you know. You know, women do this too. And I'm thinking, if only you just drop that and work for God and turn that against the devil, there wouldn't be no kingdom of darkness, because you tear that kingdom right down. And so many people are doing that. They're dropping their sin and they're starting to serve God, and they are powerful in the Lord. I'm watching that. I said, wow, these people, God, have really grown. They're powerful. They're more powerful than a Christian who has sat in the church for 15 years and grown dead. Wouldn't you like to be in the boxing ring with the devil and knock his head off after you realize what he put you through? And after you realize you really didn't have to put up with all that, he's messed you up. He's messed your family up. Your wife messed your kids up. Messed your husband up. You know, he's messed up your relationships, your jobs. Wouldn't you like to get into the boxing ring with him and just tear his head right off?
Yes.
Don't you get mad at the devil when he's after one of your children? Oh, that you know when he does that, you touch the apple of my eye. You know, you just go someplace you wish you never went when you attack one of my kids. And that's how God feels about us. He's our Father. And when the enemy attacks one of us, he gets upset. He said, you have just stuck your finger in my eye. That's my child. And how dare you attack them like that? That's the kind of God I serve. He's been wonderful since day one. And day one was whenever we stood in heavenly places, had our conversation. We made plans with him to come down here, right? With an assignment. You know, and I've noticed people that's with Jesus, boy, they'll do anything. But then whenever you leave, you know, walk, you know, you don't leave Jesus, but you have to go and do life. It's a different story, isn't it? Because then the battle begins. And you have to fight. You have to do your part. You have to fight the good fight of faith. And you have to win. You have to win. So I'm really, if you're here tonight and you don't know the joy of the Lord, you really need to try him. Just try him. He's not hurting anything. He's happy. Just try God. And just see. Taste and see if he isn't good. Isn't that what the word said? Just taste and see if he isn't good. Adam, did you taste and see? Was God good? Yeah. Yeah. When he shouts, I know he knows he's good. Yeah. Astrid, did you taste and see was God good? Was he good?
Yes.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Come on. Alan, did you taste and see that God is good? Even in your trials and tribulations, even in your valley experiences he put you in, he's still good, isn't he? He's good all the time. Your devil's ignorant all the time. Amen. Well, all right, I asked you some questions. I don't know what to wear. I hope you remember because I forgot. God's here with us tonight. And what he wants to do is he wants to tear down your walls for you. Now, if you have walls and you know you have walls and you don't want them anymore, you come up here. When you leave here tonight, them walls are going to be torn down. Because God's going to meet you at the place you're at. And he's going to tear down those walls. A lot of you have a lot of hindrances that you hold on to. And God wants you to let go of those hindrances tonight. Just let go of them. Just try God. Come on, just try God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.